Well, good morning, everybody. Perhaps I should, just before I start talking about the things I've got planned for this morning, just say something quickly about what Simon has just mentioned. Then, those of you who weren't here last Sunday night and you're wondering what on earth is going on, it is, Simon and Janet say, it is worth listening to the recording of the evening, because there's a lot more explanation in there than we're able to tell you this morning, read Ashford News and all of that. But it's worth saying that that Claire and I feel, you know, super honoured to be invited by this transition group that we set up to serve the church in this way. During the week, a number of people have said to me, "Well, we've seen this coming," and I said, "Well, you probably saw it before me then," because in some ways, out of the transition group that have met, Claire and I were involved in that. I think everyone else was very certain and confident that this was a good idea, and Claire and I took a little bit more time to be convinced, and we are certainly moving down that path. And both of us have served Ashford Church for many years, and we've loved doing that. And so in this next season, to be asked to what we see as really serving the church in this area, we see as a huge honour, a challenge, a privilege. And I, as I said on Sunday night, for me, Janet's always said she loves to be a part of Ashford Church. If you're a part of Ashford Church, I said last Sunday night that Ashford Church is not a perfect church. I don't know if everyone agrees with that. But I think it is a brilliant church. And it's great to be a part of. And if we can serve in any way, then we'd love to do that. So thank you for those of you who've talked to us during the week. And we look forward to the continuing transition. And it's worth saying as well, there's all kinds of things that we don't yet know the answer to the question yet, because Graham and Molly will continue in the leadership and in leadership capacity, and it will very much be a transition thing. So you won't be suddenly... Graham and Molly are actually speaking in Arnold this morning. That's where they are. If you wondered where they were, it's not that they've now done a runner at all. You'll see them around, and they'll still be doing many of the things that they have been doing as we... transition is the word which people keep talking about, and that really is exactly what we're doing. So there won't be, in some ways, there'll be quite a smooth, it will be very smooth, I think. You'll see us perhaps doing a bit more and taking some of the weight and responsibility. We'll see Graham and Molly released into the things that we believe that God has called them to do in this next season as well. So I'm sure there might be a few bumps in the road, but we reckon that we can manage to avoid too many serious accidents as we go through this process. So we would appreciate and value your prayers. Ultimately, as far as I can see, we're all in this together, and it's as we walk together that we see God's kingdom come and his will done in our lives and in our communities. If you have got any questions, as Simon says, please do talk to him about that. This morning then, so if you were here last week, you heard Graham speaking about friendship, and looking at the story of Jonathan and David in the Bible. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when you think about friendship, there are certain famous friendships which come straight into my mind. Perhaps these two gentlemen. Some of you will be old enough to remember them. Some of you will not know who Lauren and Hardy are. Some of you will be familiar with, of course, Tom and Jerry, two great friends. Perhaps you think of these people when you think of friends. Again, if you Google friends, they pop up. Or perhaps you think of these two. This is a serious friendship, isn't it? Transatlantic friendships, which we heard quite a lot of mention about a few years ago. So there's some of the famous friendships. And this morning, I guess we've all got experiences, good and bad, on what it means to be a friend. Before I say anything else, I thought, actually, I'd invite you just to find a friend, or at least someone who's sitting next to you. You can decide later whether they will become a friend of yours or not. But I'd like you to just to find someone that you're sat near to, and for 45 seconds, I'd like you to answer this question, okay? Jeff, if you could... Oh, actually, yeah. So the question is... I want you to think for 45 seconds, what are the most important qualities, characteristics in a friend, okay? So find someone, tell them what you think the most important qualities or characteristics are in a friend. 45 seconds, it's not very long. Have a think. Here we go. Okay, very good. Thank you, excellent. So, there it is. So, okay, so I hope that sets the scenes. I'm sure you've come up with some excellent qualities and characteristics of what it means to be a friend, or how a good friend, what a good friend would look like. And if you're looking for advice or explanation of what a good friend might look like, obviously you can turn to the left or the right, you know, that's safe. If the other place you might sometimes look, if you want to have some information on friendships, could be magazines. Who reads magazines? Not me particularly. I might end up therefore having to go to the internet. And if you look on the internet these days, obviously it's the source of great wisdom. The four top quotes on what it means on friendship are these. Okay, you ready for these? Let's see if these are useful. So, number one, friends are like snowflakes. None of them are the same. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that a beautiful, isn't that a special thing? Just, now, I would have thought this is one of the things that popped up in your conversations a few moments ago. Everyone had that? So tick snowflakes off your list. The second quote. Here we go. Friends are kisses blown to us by angels. Now, okay? It's a beautiful thing, that, don't you think? So there you go. The second key wisdom from the internet. Number three, this is good as well. A friend will bail you out of jail, but a best friend will be sitting next to you. Excellent. Now, I'm not convinced. I would have thought that if I had a good friend, they would have kept me out of jail in the first place. But there we go. And finally, possibly the best. Here we go, here's wisdom. A stranger stabs you in the front, a friend stabs you in the back, a boyfriend stabs you in the heart, but best friends only poke each other with straws. So there you go. There's a lot of stabbing and poking. I'm not quite convinced. If that's the best the internet has got to offer, then I think we perhaps need to look somewhere else. If that's the best we've got, I think we press the help button. And so this morning, my suggestion is that we take a few moments to look in the Bible and just have a think for a few minutes. If we've been talking about this year, we've been looking at the kingdom of God and how that relates to us in our lives. And so this morning, if we're thinking about what that might look like in terms of friends and friendships, then that's where we're heading. Muhammad Ali said, "Friendship is the hardest thing in the world to explain. It's not something you learn in school. But if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you really haven't learned anything." And I tend to think that people who've been around for a while probably have got the advantage in this friendship thing, because I look at some people who are perhaps older and wiser than me, who raise their eyebrows at me. And I kind of think they're probably pretty good on the whole friendship thing. So I thought, actually, at first when I started thinking about friendship, I thought perhaps my message this morning is more for younger people who need some advice on the whole area of friendship. But then I realized that as I get older, I can pick up some unhelpful habits and some perhaps unhelpful ways of thinking. So I realized that actually, probably, if we're going to look in the Bible, there's probably some things that we can all benefit from. So I think we can agree together that if we all want good and healthy friendships, that a good place to go is to have a look in the Bible. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so this morning's message is quite practical, so get ready. Three things I'm thinking that I would like to quickly I look at the wisdom of the Bible to have a look at. How to choose your friendships, how to ruin friendships, how to maintain friendships. So, you ready? Here we go. Now, the first thing then is how to choose friendships. And I started thinking about this and I realized that somebody could easily put their hand up and say, Matt, shouldn't we be friends with everyone? That's a good question, isn't it? Should we be friends with everyone? Yes and no. We've got both answers. Excellent. Now, my answer to that, which may not necessarily be right, is actually no. I don't think we can be friends with everyone. I think it's important that we support, love and care for everyone. And between us, hopefully, we can cover everyone. But actually, is it possible to be friends with everyone? I don't think so. If we look at Jesus as an example, he pretty much had, I'm sure he had more than this, but there was 12 people that he concentrated on, wasn't there? He had 12 people that he invested time and invested his life into. And I would say those were Jesus's close friends. And three special ones, says John here, which must be right because he's wiser than I am. So how to choose your friendships actually is something that could be quite important. So here we go. If you've got your Bibles, you can look it up. Otherwise, I think most things should be on the screen. So the wisdom of the Bible says, Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. So why should we choose friends carefully? Because we need to know we can have people we can know, love, and trust us. Okay? I said it was simple. I think it explains perfectly just there. Second quote, how to choose your friendships. Proverbs 22. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered. Is that good advice? What's a hot-tempered person? Anybody know any hot-tempered people? Christy knows some? Christy knows a lot. Hot-tempered people, what are they? They're unstable, potentially changeable, given to mood swings, not necessarily dependable, and apt to become suddenly violent or dangerous. What should you do when you find out that they are like that? Wisdom of the Bible says, Scarper. Get out of there, run for your life. And I know some of you might think, well, hang on, that's a bit harsh. Because some of you in here, I know, have a kind of saviour mentality. You think you can rescue them. And I know it's true that some people have skills and abilities who could help with these kind of hot-tempered people. Great. But the wisdom of the Bible says, let's not make them our friends that are going to influence and invest and share into us. That's what the Bible says. Next one, Proverbs 18, verse 24. Who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Some people are unreliable. They can't be trusted. And if we hang around with them and allow them to be the biggest influence on our lives, it can bring us to ruin. But a real friend, who I'm sure we all know, will stick by us like family. Actually closer than family, it says, doesn't it? Closer than a brother. So if family is the example of closeness in relationships, then a friend will be even closer than that. Next one, very quickly, Proverbs 27:9. The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Or as have I missed one? Try the next one, Jeff, see if they leapfrogged. Did that one go? Got vetoed. It's in the director's cut. If you get the extended DVD. Anyway, Proverbs 27:9 still says, even if it's not on the screen, the heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume or incense. Or the message version of the Bible says, just as lotions and fragrance give sensual delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul. And I guess this, I like this image. I don't know about you, there's certain perfumes and smells which stir something within us, our natural senses. And what this verse is saying is that someone who brings good advice, wise counsel, in a similar way as sweet perfumes make a difference and there is an aroma, so this kind of advice makes a difference to us and our soul. I like this quote. It says, the kind of person that can tell you, this is what someone who can bring sincere advice and counsel, the kind of person that can tell you when your face is dirty or the face of your soul is dirty without making you feel dirty. That's clever, isn't it? It's good, that. I like that. And then, here it is. The one that we were waiting for. Isaiah 60 verse 5 says something interesting. It says, then you will see and flow together. Your heart shall fear and be enlarged. So this talks about in the context seeing and flowing together. But those two things are not enough. I loved this because it said that real friends should enlarge your heart. Some people can make your heart smaller. But if we have friends around us that provoke us, I know I've got friends around that can provoke me to grow, to seek God, to be encouraged to go for bigger things and to let go of stuff that holds me down. And I think we especially need friends like this if we're just starting out on a journey with Jesus, because how many people know that you need people around you who are going to actually tell you the way it is, who are going to help you and not just pat you on the back. They're going to tell you the things that are difficult. They're going to tell you when your face is dirty. I'm very grateful that people will point things out to me. I don't want everyone to do it, but I want friends who can tell me the way it is that can be real. And I don't know about you, but I've got friends who can do that for me, and I think it is so vitally important. If we have friends who have a real commitment to God, then we'll end up with a real commitment to God too. It's a byproduct. It's what happens. Last one on choosing friendships, I think, or last one, part A. Proverbs 13:20 says, if you walk with the wise, you become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. We want people who will take us beyond where we've always already been. And I don't know about you, but if there's wise people around, then I'd like to be in their gang, because wise people, it rubs off and we become wise. Romans 12:2, I think, adds to this as well. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know what God's will is for you. We don't just want friends who will tell us it's okay to swim in muddy waters. We want friends to tell us, get out of there. Okay, so let's make good choices on our friendships. Second thing, how to ruin friendships. Do you think the Bible has something to say on that? Let's see. Proverbs 16:28 says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best friends. We talk about gossip sometimes, don't we? And I think we all would agree that gossip undermines friendships. It tends to destroy people's character. And I don't know about you, but gossip is one of those things that's like a slippery slope. Once you've started, before you know it, you're suddenly into a huge, great big conversation, either speaking or listening to one. And it's so common in our culture, isn't it? It's just one of the things that happens. It just sneaks in. And we don't even notice it. So let's be clear, let's be open, and let's not say things that we're unsure about. And if we hear something that we're not sure about, let's do something about it. Ronnie, yeah. I'm not the expert on Facebook, but I reckon that sometimes if we're not careful, that actually Facebook has the possibility to plant seeds of strife. Because sometimes the stuff that we put out there in the media in the social media is not always helpful. Do you know why? Because you've put out a message and actually you're not there to explain it when someone reads it. And how many people know that 4 or 5 words can be interpreted 5 or 6 different ways? So I have a policy on Facebook. It's called don't put anything on it. And I think that's safe. Now, I know if you're wiser than me, you may have a different policy, and that's fine. But let's just be careful. How to ruin friendships, Proverbs 25:17. This is interesting. I don't think many of us will do this too much. It says, don't visit your neighbours too often, or you will wear out your welcome. Or the Message version says, when you find a friend, don't outwear your welcome. Show up at all hours. He'll soon get fed up. I don't think many of us do this, but I think what we're saying here, one of my neighbours is in the room, just in case you wondered where the heckling from the back was there, which is why there were some comments made about not showing up too much at your neighbours. But actually, I think what this verse is saying is, let's not get too intense. Let's have a circle of friends. This is a personal thing, but I'm actually not sure whether having best friends is really best, because I think it's really healthy that we have a circle of friends, a group of friends, because if we end up with best friends, sometimes it's easy to become jealous, possessive, and we can create problems for ourselves. I think it's really healthy to have a circle and a group of friends. I just think it's good. Good. The wise people are telling me it's all right. Carry on.
Bless you if you have your best friend is your wife.
Okay, one exception. John says best friends can be husbands and wives. I think it's true. To be friends with your husband and wife is very important. Okay. Next one says this. If someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends. Sadly, some of the most painful wounds we can get are from our friends, aren't they? I don't think I've ever got upset by what someone thinks about me who I've never met. I don't think I've ever been too worried about the opinion of people I don't know at all. I guess it's obvious, but we need to be aware that we need to be really careful with our friendships, don't we? And just as an aside, how to react to friends who treat you badly. I looked a little bit at a couple of examples David experienced. Psalm 109 says, they repay me evil for good and hatred for my friendship. Ouch, that's not good, is it? And Psalm 41, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who I shared my bread, has turned against me. Poor old David. But the response to all of that, I guess he comes to the conclusion, Psalm 109, in return for my friendship, they accuse me, but I am a man of prayer. So I guess David's saying, well, if you find yourself there, then what's the response? It's time to pray. Let's turn to God. It's simple, but how many of us do it? So that's a bit on how to ruin friendships. How to maintain a friendship then, finally? Here we go. We talked about this last week. John 15, Jesus says, greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I guess that's the ultimate. Hopefully most of us won't be asked to live up to that, but let's be givers. Let's be willing to give to one another, to our friends, give sacrificially if necessary. What does that look like? Time, money, support, and love. Proverbs 11 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. And I know this refers to money, but the principle is obvious. If you want rich, high quality, and productive friendships, we need to be giving, don't we? I look around the room, I can see a lot of givers in this room. And that's the way we are. But let's not become complacent. Let's remember that that's actually the way we want to live. We want to be givers, don't we? Proverbs 17, a friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need. Let's be the people who are devoted to our friends, to love at all times. We want to be there to stand alongside people. And again, I look around this room and I know so many examples. If I asked, and perhaps I could, for examples of times when we've come alongside friends who've been in suffering, difficulty, bereavement, illness, relational difficulties. A few years ago, I had a problem with my back. I couldn't drive for 13 weeks or 14 weeks or something like that. Spent a lot of time lying on the settee. I was still working, technically. I'm not sure if you're allowed to do that, but I had my laptop kind of like this, and so I was working on my back. But in that time, so many people, so many friends did all kinds of things to help me. People visited me. People took me places because I couldn't drive. People carried stuff. And if you've been there, it's quite a humbling thing to realize that actually there's so many people around who care. And I guess if we paused for a few moments, we'd have lots of stories in the room of people who have supported, cared, loved, and looked after us, our friends. We all need somebody to lean on. Somebody said, a real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Proverbs 17:9 says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. It's good stuff, this Bible, isn't it? I'm going to get one. It's obvious, but forgiveness plays its part in friendship, doesn't it? And it's one of those things that we talk about. It pops up. It's a bit of a churchy, Christian-y word, isn't it? Forgiveness. It kind of rolls off the tongue on a Sunday, and then during the week, it's around, but it's perhaps a bit more in the background. And yet, forgiveness needs to be something that we bring to the forefront of who we are. And I think this is the lastly. This is an extract from Philippians 2:1-4 that Zoe mentioned actually when we were on Wednesday night when the worship team were together and we were sharing some stuff. This is what Philippians 2 says. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front, don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. I love that. Be deep-spirited friends. I don't know about the kind of friends that you want to have or want to be, but deep-spirited friends sounds pretty good to me. And actually, thinking about this, I have quite a few friends who are outside of church. I don't think church has this exclusivity on friendship, do you? I think there's a lot of good friendships outside of church. And yet, actually, if we're talking about friendships, there's something, when we've got the Holy Spirit living within us, actually, we should have a head start. We should be at the place at the front of the queue when it comes to friendships, do you think? Because God has done something within our lives that's made such a difference, transformed us, and is still transforming us, that actually means that the way that we want to treat one another, the way that we want to respond to one another, flows out of that love that we have found in God. So, conclusion. Be loyal, be reliable, be real, be there. I'm sure you'll agree, but as well as Magazines and internets aren't good places, but as well as the Bible, the other place, if you want to look anything up on friendship, is Winnie the Pooh. And I think that's obvious. I think we'd all agree with that. So this quote I found that I liked. Piglet sidled up to Pooh from behind. "Pooh," he whispered. "Yes, Piglet?" "Nothing," said Piglet, taking Pooh's hand. "I just wanted to be sure of you." Most of us don't need a psychiatric therapist. We just need somebody to be silly with. And I don't know about you, but every now and then when I do a bit of a stock check on my life, I always come back to the same conclusion. When I'm thinking about the things that are important, there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of things to do, there's a lot of things I need to organise, my to-do list is huge, but take away all of that, take away computers and emails, it's my definition of heaven, take away all that stuff, what's left? God and people. And I'm so thankful for so many friends in my life. And I guess you are too. And next weekend, when we have part two of celebrating 40 years of Ashwood, there'll be a number of people that will be coming to join with us who've been a part of the church over the last 40 years. They'll be friends for some of us. And if you've not been around more recently, then can I encourage you to introduce yourself to some of these people? Let's have a celebration next weekend. Let's have a great time of honouring one another and honouring God and thanking him. But as I think about that, and I'm aware of friendships, I also think about the friends that I have. I actually wrote a list while I was doing this exercise of all the different things that friends that I've got who've helped me with all kinds of different things, and it was a long list. And if you want to encourage yourself, then you've got a moment, you would do something similar. But as I find myself praying, I often say, I want to be the best husband I can be, the best dad I can be, the best employee I can be. And then perhaps this morning, thinking about friendships, I want to be the best friend that I can be. Do you? Yeah. Which doesn't mean I'm making comparisons with other people. It's about being the best that I can be. So why don't we pray? Shall we do that? I guess there's two things I'm praying, if you want to join in. One is I start with thanks for all the friends that God has put in my life and around me. And the second is, this morning is not about beating ourselves up and saying, woe is me, what kind of a friend am I? But actually, you know, from time to time, gently, Holy Spirit working inside us, perhaps there are things where God says, oh, Matt, have you thought about that? Or it's the things that I could do to be the friend, the best friend that I can be to my friends. So let's just take a moment, shall we? Well, Father, we're grateful people. And as we think about friendships, Lord, many of us are saying thank you to you this morning. As we press pause for a moment on the busyness of life, we recognize that you've placed so many friends around us. And Lord, we're grateful. It's true that we're not perfect, we make mistakes. Some of us have been disappointed. Some of us have even been offended, upset, and hurt. And Lord, we ask for your healing touch for those of us who need it, to come by your Holy Spirit to help us. Ultimately, Lord, we want you to be at the centre of all of our relationships, centre of our lives. Lord, it's something we say often, and today, Lord, as we think about friendships, Lord, we ask that you would be at the centre. You'd help us where we need help. In the psalm, David cried out to God. And Lord, we give you our attention today too. So it's with hearts of gratitude and hearts that acknowledge that at times we need your help too, Lord. Ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I just share one more thing? Because as I've thought about this whole friendship thing, there's a song that's been going around in my head. And the words of the song say this: I know who goes before me, I know who goes behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. And it's a great song. We've sung it before. I'm sure we'll sing it again. But it's one of those light bulb moments where I recognize that actually the God that we worship this morning, the God that we, many of us, have chosen to follow and give our lives to, I love this image that he is the God of angel armies. That's how big our God is. And sometimes I make God far too small. So actually for a moment I stop and I see that God is the God of angel armies. That's pretty big. That's pretty impressive. And yet the words of this song, which just, it's not good for listening to in the car because sometimes you become a bit distracted. But actually the God of angel armies is a friend of mine. They're two things which are true. And this morning, as we finish, I just wanted to encourage you to see the bigness of your God. And then be aware that too, that he is also your friend. And allow a moment for that to be your mind. Because I think if it doesn't, you haven't quite got it. And I wonder if we finish this morning, that we just allow God to speak to us, underline. I actually felt this morning that God wanted to say something specific to many of us. Actually, God wants to say this morning to some individuals here, you're not alone. Ben, as you arrived this morning and came and sat on the front row, I thought, this is great, love to see Ben. And I thought, Ben's sat on his own. And it was good news because Zach was only a few steps away, so joined you later. But I just felt, Ben, that God wanted to say to you that you're not alone. And I think there are other people this morning that it's really important that you don't leave this place without knowing that you're not alone. And that actually, it's two things. One is there is plenty of people around within Ashwood Church where we want this to be a community of friends. So it is true that God of Angel Armies is a friend of yours. So don't go away without that fact. But let's have both these things together, because actually the way that God works out care and love is through you and me. We are the hands and feet of God, aren't we? But I wonder if just finishing this morning, let's just use this song for a moment, just to allow, sink into the truth of the words that the God of angel armies is also a friend of mine. And then perhaps we'll pray and finish. Thank you, God. Why don't we stand together? This morning, if it was important to you to know that you're not alone, I just wonder if you could just respond to God for a moment as we finish our meeting. Why don't we just close our eyes, and I just believe that actually this morning there's a number of people who feel like they're alone, and that God just wants to underline things in your life today. That the God of angel armies is a friend of yours, always by your side. And for those who are those of us this morning who are facing all kinds of different things, then allow that to be true. It's true for all of us, but allow it to be real in your life today. The God of angel armies is by your side. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever you're up to, he is a friend of yours. He can be a friend of yours. So God, this morning as we stand in your presence, we want to respond to you. And Lord, particularly this morning, I want to pray for each person who feels that they are alone in some way. That you would be the strength, you would be their comfort, and that you would allow them to be surrounded with your love that only you can give, that only you can bring, that's only available from the God of angel armies. And Lord, we, each one of us, seek to serve and to obey and to respond to you. And Lord, in that we ask for your help. But today we choose to recognize and acknowledge that the God of angel armies is a friend of ours. And for that we are very grateful, Lord. Amen.